Welcome to the Property Lovers Podcast. I'm your host, Dominique Grubisher. This podcast series is all about giving you a competitive edge in your property journey. We'll be discussing little known strategies, tools, and information to help you add value and create wealth through property. Now, obviously, we don't know you or your unique position, so this is not financial or investment advice. It is information of a general nature, and you should always seek professional advice as to your situation before you ever invest in anything. But if you want to play a bigger game in property and want to use property as your vehicle to create wealth and, more importantly, freedom, then you're in the right place. Let's do this. Let's get started. In today's episode, it's that time of year again, tax time. So we're joined by Don Brown from Metrics Advisory, our accounting arm. Hi, Don. Welcome.
Hey, Dom. How's it going?
Well, thank you. So, Don, let's talk the boring stuff that we have to know, the tax stuff. Let's start with work-related expenses. Tell us about that.
Yes, I think with work-related expenses, Dom, there's three golden rules. One is that you've actually spent the money and were not reimbursed for the expense. The second one is, was the expense directly related to your earning income? So it must have a nexus with your income earning activity. And finally, do you have a record to prove it, a receipt or a document? So they're essentially the three golden rules for claiming work-related expenses as a tax deduction.
Okay, fantastic. Good to know. So if we tick those three boxes, then we can claim it. And what if we work from home, which is a lot more prevalent now?
Dom, yes, there's three main methods that you can calculate your working from home expenses. And as we're coming out of COVID, one of the methods ends on the 30th of June, which is the temporary shortcut method. The temporary shortcut method is simply diarizing or calculating your hours that you've actually worked from home and then applying 80 cents per hour worked. And that will be your deduction claim for your work from home in your tax return. The other method is the fixed rate method. The fixed rate method is 52 cents per hour working from home. But on top of that, you can also separately calculate mobile phone costs, internet costs, and consumables. And the final method is the actual cost method, which is looking at your portion of all costs, including home electricity and lighting and heating. Again, your mobile phone costs, your peripheral costs, your computer costs, etc., tallying all of those up and then claiming that as home office expenses. So they're the three main methods of claiming work from home expenditure.
Okay, fantastic. Now, another thing that many of us do, especially property investors, is we drive around in our car. So what expenses can we claim there?
So generally with motor vehicle or car expenses, Dom, it's traveling between separate jobs on the same day is classed as a deduction. The other one is traveling to and from alternative workplaces for the same employer. So if you're required to go between workplaces or different jobs, that's business travel. And then from home, and if you're an employee, going from home directly to an alternate workplace from your normal workplace, that's also considered a tax deductible trip in your car.
So not much there. Maybe easier to tell us what we can't claim, because there's probably a lot that we think is tax deductible that isn't.
Yes. I mean, with the car expenses you cannot claim are your normal trips between your home and your work. And there are some limited circumstances where you can claim. For example, if you're carrying bulky tools or equipment specifically for work, there may be an element of tax deductibility in that home to work cost or trip. But generally, you can't claim the travel from home to work. If you've salary sacrificed and your car expenses have been salary sacrificed or reimbursed, again, you can't claim those costs in your tax return. But I think with car use, the most important element is that you do have accurate records recording those trips, whether that be a logbook or a diary record of kilometres. And look, there's an ATO app called My Deduction, which is a tool that the ATO provide our clients that they can utilise to record those business kilometres.
Oh, cool. Don, can you give us any insider information? Like, are they targeting anything or are there ATO red flags that we should know about?
There are, Dom. I mean, particularly this year, that the ATO are going to be focusing on rental properties and deductions claimed against rental properties by taxpayers. So they're going to be a focus on that market. There's also going to be a focus on capital gains to ensure that clients are fully disclosing their capital gains, not only from properties, but from shares and the new one, cryptocurrency. So that there's a focus by the ATO, particularly this year, and there was also last year a focus on those three main areas: rental property returns, cryptocurrency and capital gains, and again, record keeping, just making sure that taxpayers have the appropriate records for their deductions.
Okay, fantastic. Maybe we can go into those a little bit deeper. Cryptocurrency, because it has been a bit of a fad. Is there capital gains on that, or what do we need to know?
Well, it really depends, Dom, whether you're considered a trader or an investor, and there's fine lines between that. If you're a trader, you've got methodologies. You're buying and selling quite often. So you've got methodologies, you've got systems. You're on there every day trading, a trader. So that's ordinary income. It's not a capital gain. So it's taxed as normal profit. Whereas an investor invests every now and again, looks, may change investments, may cash in. So if you're an investor, that is a capital gain. So there's a fine line between the two. But generally, most cryptocurrency service providers, you can obtain that information, and they should be providing it on their relevant platforms at year end, so that you can easily refer to their reports to decipher those reports and obtain the relevant numbers, your capital gains, your capital losses in some cases can be offset, of course, and any revenue that you've earned from those investments.
Okay, Don, and does the same apply for property? Because I know some people treat property like a business. It's an enterprise. They're flipping properties, renovating, selling, and other people are more passive. They just buy and invest and hold. So does that have an impact on the way we class our tax?
Exactly, Don. Again, it's are you an entrepreneur? Are you buying the property with a view to reselling it, in which case it would be treated as ordinary income? Or is your actual intention to hold onto that property as an investment? And if you sell that investment property, it's then a capital gain. So it's just making sure that your intention when you originally bought the property is clearly disclosed and communicated to your tax professional so that they can appropriately treat that income in the correct manner. But again, it's looking at making sure, particularly around property, is making sure that all of your rental earnings are in there. In some cases, you may jointly hold a property, or you may have an interest in a property with other parties, that you need to still disclose that share of that interest in your tax return. And just making sure if there's anything of anything privately that you may have incurred. In some cases, if you've purchased materials and there's a split use, you've bought something for your home and you've bought something for your rental property, it's making sure that they're appropriately categorized between private and the rental property. And if you have any questions, particularly with a newly purchased property and new to rent property, don't hesitate to contact us.
Okay, sounds good. Now, do you see people falling into traps with these sorts of things? Because I know that I used to think that interest, I could claim the principal as well. Are there common traps for newbies?
Yes, and particularly when people are calculating the capital gain, they look at the principal amount as a reduction in the gain. No, it's the interest it's the interest component only of the loan that is deductible against the rental income. And of course, if there's any interest when you're settling the loan on repaying and selling the property, that interest can be brought to account as a tax deduction. So interest is deductible, the principal amount isn't. Of course, from a capital gains perspective, when you're selling the property, the purchase price of the property is considered as a reduction of your capital gain, which directly relates to the principal. But other things such as body corporate expenses, just checking what those expenses are actually for. Are they of a capital nature? Repairs and maintenance is a big one, Dom, where people, some clients think they can expense everything, but it really depends upon the nature of the expense. If it's a repair item that's fixing something up, definitely can be fully expensed. If you're improving the asset, potentially that expense may need to be capitalized and added to the cost base. Such things such as potentially putting in new windows, for example, could potentially be treated as a capital expense rather than as a repair item, particularly if they're not replacing like for like. So repairs and maintenance is a common one that some people do get tripped up on if they're treating them incorrectly. There's three types. One is a capital improvement. The other one is a repair, which is fully deductible in the year that it's incurred. And the other one is when you first buy a property and you make immediate repairs, those can often also be seen to be capital expenditure, not an immediate deduction. So repair items, again, it's a matter of keeping the records, trying to get as much information, particularly on the big repair items that you incur or expenses that you incur, as much detail as you can on the invoice so that your accountant can appropriately account for them from a tax perspective.
Okay, Don. And when is this all due? How tax?
So if you engage a tax agent, you generally have extended lodgement deadlines. So for instance, 30 June 2022 tax returns. If you engage a tax agent, you may have until May next year as the latest date for lodgement. If you're doing your own tax return, generally those would need to be lodged by the end of October. So particularly if you believe you're going to have a tax liability, it is prudent potentially to engage a tax agent. Firstly, you do get the extension of time to lodge as part of your agent's lodgement program. And secondly, you get a little bit of tax deferral coming into play because then after lodgement, you'll then have your tax to pay. So generally, tax agents have a lodgement due date of up until May next year. If you're doing it yourself, it's due by the end of October.
Okay. And Don, what if you get it wrong or you've gotten it wrong in the past and you just didn't know? What if we've just learned something from what you've told us and we want to revise it or we might be in trouble? Like, how do they just randomly audit you? Is there any rules around it? And can we fix past errors?
Yes, Dom, you certainly can. And there are random audits by the ATO. And just from some statistics going back, random audits by the ATO last year found that more than 70% of returns needed to be adjusted. So the returns that they randomly reviewed or audited, in 70% of those cases, there was an adjustment required, particularly around work-related deductions and rental claims. But it's not an issue. If the ATO have reviewed your tax return and found it to be incorrect, there's a number of actions that you can take. One is you can accept the findings of the ATO. Two is that you can engage or you can argue and bring some additional facts to prove the expense, potentially. The third one is potentially to engage your a tax agent to go into bat for you. And firstly, if you're comfortable with the ATO findings, and it results in more tax to pay, you can also enter into a payment arrangement with the ATO if the ultimate tax payable is going to provide some financial difficulty to you. So there's a number of actions you can take.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Dom. Thanks for your time and your tips. And if we want help around this time of year or getting our tax together, how can we get in touch with you?
They can certainly email info@businessmetrics.com.au, or I'm happy to take emails personally, don@businessmetrics.com.au.
Fantastic. And we'll put that link there as well in the notes to get in touch. Thank you again, Don, and all the best, everyone, at tax time.
Thanks, Don. Pleasure.
We are passionate here at the DG Institute about helping people launch and progress along their property journey. And we have some free resources to really help you do that. First of all, we have our Real Estate Rescue Introductory Program, which is all about getting you up and running when it comes to buying under-market distressed properties from really motivated sellers. You can get access to that program for free right now by going to www.dginstitute.com.au/freecourse1. That's www.dginstitute.com.au/freecourse and then the number 1.